Dear brethren, we suspended gathering together as a congregation on 25th March 2020 because of COVID-19 pandemic. It also meant suspension of preaching of messages to the congregation. I then shared with the congregation 16 recorded audio sharing, COV001 to COV016, from 11th April 2020 to 28th November 2020. We resumed worship service on 6th December 2020, and I continued with preaching on the message series, The Fulfillment of God's Purposes. We have suspended worship service again on 16th May 2021. I'm looking to the Lord to continue sharing with the congregation recorded audio sharing, beginning with today's sharing, Your Will Be Done. COV017. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you be pleased to be with us, to speak to our hearts, and to renew our minds, so that we may be able to exercise true faith and be properly committed to you and what is in your heart. We pray that you will continue to teach us your ways and the path to true joy, peace, and fruitful living. We commit this time into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. In my earlier recorded audio sharing, I considered with you the importance of seeing clearly and being deeply convicted. It is feasible for believers to learn and grow and have an abiding sense of true peace and well-being under all circumstances. And we need not be worried and anxious. Whatever the circumstances, it is feasible. Whether it be the current pandemic or whatever we may have to go through in the future. And also how this can be true for our personal lives and our working out together, that we can have the proper biblical basis. It is feasible does not mean it will take place. We need to understand the biblical basis and then seek to work at it in fellowship with God. I consider with you one vital area we need to pay attention to, and that is pure in heart. Nurturing a heart that is increasingly pure in meaning and quality is what the Lord Jesus seeks to bring about in our lives. And it is at the core center of his preaching and teaching, including his teaching us how to pray. I refer to you an important passage in the scriptures, in the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus on the subject of prayer. And I considered with you the meaning and implications of Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. We need to pay close attention to what the Lord Jesus desires to teach us and transmit to us in these two verses on prayer. The Lord Jesus is teaching us what ought to be the primary longing of our hearts, and what we ought to be committed to, and what ought to be at the core center of what motivates us in prayer, from which our prayer flows. If what I have considered with you, what the Lord Jesus desires to transmit to us through the meaning and implications in these two verses, if they are properly understood, absorbed, internalized, and becomes true in our lives, it is feasible for us to go through all situations meaningfully, learning and growing in the process, and honoring the Lord, and participating meaningfully in the advancement of God's kingdom. Today I want to consider with you the second half of Matthew chapter 6 verse 10, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. There are two responses to difficult and unpleasant events and circumstances in life which are inappropriate. Yet Christians can be influenced by these notions and fail to see clearly why we ought not respond in this way. For example, when there is a terrible accident, we encounter a terrible accident, or we are afflicted by a severe illness, or there is very oppressive work situation. We are significantly, severely persecuted. There are very unreasonable people making life very difficult for us or trying to harm us. Then Christians may respond in two ways. One, they may become very upset and discouraged because circumstances or men have obstructed his path, hindered his life, so that he cannot work out his life, grow or serve God. Or that is what he thinks. Another response, which may appear more spiritual, is the second, but also inappropriate response. That is, he takes it as it is the will of God. So just accept it and continue on with life in a spirit of thanksgiving. Some may think if they do not view life in this way, then what takes place may not be God's will. And if what takes place may not be God's will, then life may seem so insecure. Anything can happen to them. And this may then result in their adopting the second response. And that is, they become very upset or discouraged. We need to see clearly that these two responses are not consistent with the implications of what the Lord Jesus teaches us, and also the biblical revelation. The Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is, the deep longings of our hearts for others as well as for ourselves, that there will be increasing submission to God's reign in the hearts of men and obedience to God, and that all things that take place may glorify God, and we set our hearts to work together with God in that direction. And we pray in this way, and we live our lives in this way, working together with God in that direction, is because many things can and do take place that do not honor the name of God, that grieve the heart of God, that are contrary to the will of God. There are those who hold the view that God's will is always done. That is their understanding of the sovereignty of God. For in the understanding, no being can succeed in defying the will of God. You can say the understanding, or that's what they've been taught, or they're influenced by books and messages projecting this view. But if this is true, that God's will is always done, then why is there so much sin and evil in this fallen world? It is not consistent. If this is true, there will be no rebellion against the reign of God. Because if God's will is always done, then there is no rebellion against the reign of God. There will not be anything done that displeases God. Because everything that takes place is according to the will of God. And if that is true, then Christ need not come into this world to be the Savior of mankind, to die for our sins, that we may be reconciled to God, because there will be no need for forgiveness of sins and no need for reconciliation to God, because all that we do and say will be according to God's will and it will be pleasing to God. I'll now make some brief comments on the meaning of God's sovereignty and the will of God. Yes, God's will be done where it does not involve moral beings and their will. For example, God's will in creation. It is the will of God that there be light. And he said, let there be light. And so there was light. And likewise, the will of God that there be night and day and so on. And everything that was in the will of God came to pass. Because it does not involve other moral beings. God's will be done. However, we also need to take note of the second point, and that is, though nothing can take place outside of the will of God, in the sense that nothing can take place without God's permission, but his will, in the sense of what he desires, is often violated by human beings, that is, disobedience to God. Likewise, the evil one and the forces of darkness are in rebellion against God. But man being able to disobey God and the forces of darkness, the evil one in rebellion against God, they are permitted by God. And it is within the framework of God's sovereignty. It is not God's will, in the sense it is not God's desire that moral beings sin against him, disobey him. But they can, and God permits it. When we pray, your will be done, it's the longing of our hearts that God's will be done, that often it is not done. And this prayer involves also the implication of God's will, our longing that God's will be done, beginning with our own hearts, that we want God's will be done in our hearts and in our lives. I will now consider with you what ought to be our approach to life that will be consistent with our prayer, your will be done. A brief preliminary remarks. Why should there be this longing in our hearts that God's will be done? The simple answer is, it is because God is perfect and his will is perfect. His will for us, for every situation, in every specific issue, it is always the best in that situation, in that context. It cannot be better. So when we go against the will of God, it is sin, it is a failure, it is disobedience to the perfect, great, almighty God. And it is foolishness. Paul urges us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship. That is, to consecrate our lives to God. And in verse 2, he says that we are not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. When our minds are renewed, when we are transformed, and we live out the will of God, then we will experience that the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. And consecration means commitment to submit to God and to live out God's perfect will. You may ask the question, if God's will is perfect, why is it many believers fail to commit themselves to live out the perfect will of God? Why is it believers from time to time deviate from the perfect will of God and fail to submit to God's perfect will? When we can recognize that the will of God is perfect, the answer is because submission to the will of God can be very difficult and painful. We can say it is the cost of true discipleship. It is easier and more pleasant to live as we wish and to follow the inclinations and desires of the flesh. And this results in failure to submit to the will of God. The evil one and the forces of darkness are also very actively at work, seeking to deceive us into thinking that in that situation, we should do what is contrary to the will of God, to tempt us through the attractions and distractions in the fallen world, so that we deviate from submission to the perfect will of God, to tempt us to live according to the flesh. And when we live according to the flesh, we will not be submitting to the perfect will of God. I will now go on to practical outworking of living by the principle and the spirit of your will be done. And I want to, in this sharing, cover two main points. The first main point is, it means we should not adopt the posture of passive acceptance. That is, not the posture, not the attitude, that everything that happens is the will of God. There are two verses in the book of Job, which are often misquoted in support of this kind of mindset, that everything that happens is the will of God, including adversities of life. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, that is often quoted, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." These are the words of Job. Another verse often quoted is in Job chapter 2, verse 10, also the words of Job to his wife. "Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" There's a rhetorical question. And the meaning is, yes, we should accept good from God as well as adversity. And there's a context where Job was being afflicted with terrible adversities. And Job understood it as adversities that come from God. And these verses are often quoted as if wholesome, healthy approach to life is to accept whatever happens in life as the will of God. And even more so, when we are confronted with, when we are tested with painful, puzzling situations we do not understand why they happen, we have to take them as from God. God has taken away Job's houses, his children, and so on. They were taken away from him. Suddenly, he lost everything. So God has taken away. Continue to praise God. Worship God. But this approach is not consistent with biblical revelation. And it can lead to deep frustration and terrible suffering. And this is what happened to Job. He became very frustrated because he thought that all these afflictions were from God. And especially in the context of terrible evil deeds and schemes of the evil one and terrible evil deeds and schemes of evil people. The irony is that this kind of thinking, this mindset, is actually contrary, is opposite to what God wants to teach us through the book of Job. And this is a reminder to us to be careful how we quote and apply verses in the scriptures. We need to understand the meaning of the verses in its context and what God is actually trying to teach us through the scriptures. Job and his three friends, they thought all the adversities and afflictions that came upon Job were from God. So to Job's friends, it must be because of Job's sin. For example, the words of Eliphaz, one of the three friends of Job, points in that direction, that kind of thinking. Job chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Eliphaz said, "Remember now, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the upright destroyed? These are rhetorical questions also, and the answer to him is clearly no. Likewise, verse 8, according to what I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. So when afflictions come upon you, the afflictions are coming upon Job, it is because of his sin. Otherwise, he will not be suffering all these terrible afflictions from God. Job himself became very frustrated, and he cursed the day of his birth, Job chapter 3, verse 1. And Job chapter 7, verse 11 tells us he was in anguish, and he complained in the bitterness of his soul. He was in anguish, he was bitter, he complained, because he thought he was the target of God, Job chapter 7, verse 20. That God was shooting his arrows at Job, all these terrible adversities coming upon him. And so Job became very frustrated. But we can see, because it is recorded for us in the scriptures, apart from other truths, that Satan was at work. It was spiritual warfare. Who took away? Who caused the adversities that came upon Job? It was Satan. Apparently, Job and his three friends did not know about the existence of Satan and that Satan was attacking Job. And so they thought that all these afflictions that came upon Job was from God. Attributing everything to God does not honor God, especially the terrible deeds and wicked deeds of men and the attacks of the evil one. At the same time, the book of Job does, to some degree, help us appreciate the true meaning of the sovereignty of God. Because Satan could only do what God permitted within the framework of what God allows. The book of Job also helps us see we need to learn to trust God at all times, even when we are confronted with suffering and perplexing issues and things we do not understand, because we know the perfect God is our Heavenly Father who loves us. And we also know our knowledge and understanding is limited. So sometimes we may be perplexed, we may not quite understand what is going on. For a fuller discussion of these and other important issues in the book of Job, you can refer to my book, Understanding Job, where these issues are discussed in detail. The second point I want to consider with you is your will be done. The practical implications. The practical implication of your will be done when we pray in this way, the longing of our hearts that God's will be done. The practical implication is that we are actively praying and also striving, doing all we can with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength in that direction, that God's will be done for our own lives and also the lives of others. Our concern, the lives of others, and that others also adopt this approach to life. That we'll seek all that we can by the grace of God to contribute, to participate in kingdom building and the fulfillment of God's purposes. Very important, always looking to the Lord to guide and to enable us, not in our own strength and according to our own thinking, our own ways, or what looks expedient, or the ways of the world. We must look to the Lord for wisdom, the Lord to guide us, to enable us, and also to appreciate the teaching of God in the scriptures, the ways of God. and look to the Lord enable us? How can we live our lives in such a way that it promotes the will of God being done in the lives of others and in all kinds of situations, including overcoming spiritual opposition from the evil one and the forces of darkness? It's helpful to note that kingdom building and the fulfillment of God's purposes is directly related to submission to the reign of God and the will of God being done. When there's increasing submission to the reign of God and God's will being done, then this would move in the direction of the advancement of God's kingdom. And there's more and more, there's increasing submission to the reign of God, the kingdom of God advances. When there's increasing submission to the will of God being done, it contributes to the reign of God and the advancement of God's kingdom. And vice versa. When we participate and contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom, there will be increasingly real the submission to God's reign and more God's will being done. Let us now look at an example in the scriptures, and the primary example is the example of the Lord Jesus. How the Lord Jesus lived his life. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, the Lord Jesus prayed to God the Father, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." The Lord Jesus was praying to God the Father, and his reference to the cup, that is the cross, the terrible suffering that awaits him. And the Lord Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." Your will be done. The Lord Jesus was totally committed to the will of God the Father, even when he knew it meant the most painful, agonizing suffering, the death of the cross. When he knew that was the will of God the Father, and he was resolute. He did not deviate from this path. We need to ask ourselves this question. Are we following the example of the Lord Jesus? Is this attitude and spirit true in our lives? Are we serious in our commitment to God's perfect will, recognizing it is the best under the circumstances? And are we committed to his will in everything, in every area, and all the time, even when it is inconvenient, we are disinclined, and even when it is very difficult and very painful? On the one hand, it is not passive acceptance of all that takes place in our lives as the will of God, but at the same time, we are actively looking to the Lord to do his will and seeking to promote the will of God being done. And in our hearts, we are prepared to follow the will of God and enter into difficult and painful situations we know the Lord desires of us. That is, we have a choice before us. Not just afflictions that come upon us and we seek to endure it, but we have choices before us, and we know one choice that is the will of God for us will lead to significant difficulties, a lot of pain and suffering. But we know that is what the Lord desires of us, to make the choice to enter into that situation. Will we? The practical implication and outworking of the spirit of your will be done, the principle for your will be done, is that we would. And this is the meaning of commitment, consecration, true discipleship, true faith. And we do so not unwillingly, but we do so affirming our faith in the Lord and rejoicing in Him. Not that we are confident in ourselves, not that we think it will be easy, we know it will be difficult, but we trust God that is His will for us, what He desires of us. He will undertake, He will enable us, and He will cause all things to work together for good to those who love God. So if we love God, we walk with the Lord in this way, we know it will not be detrimental to our lives. The opposite of it is true. It will be good for us, for our growth in the Lord, our learning, and our becoming equipped to become more effective for service, effective service. It is the way to a rich, fulfilling, abundant, and fruitful life. But bear in mind, it is the life in Christ. We need to walk in Christ, abide in Christ and He in us, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not on our own, but abiding in Christ and He in us, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. God is looking for believers with this kind of commitment, this kind of faith in Him. There's unwavering faith, there's unwavering commitment. And such believers are reliable and trustworthy servants of the Lord. And God will be pleased, and you will have much freedom to speak to such believers and much freedom to work deeply in and through such believers. Let us prayerfully consider, reflect on the meaningfulness of this kind of approach and commitment to God. The Lord willing, in my next sharing, I will continue to reflect further with you on these issues, on the practical outworking and living by the principle and spirit of your will be done. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you be pleased to grant us insight into what you desire to teach us through the scriptures and the meaning and implications of the pattern prayer the Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That these may be the deep longings of our hearts, what we are committed to. For we know this is the way to align our heart with your heart. That, Lord, you be pleased to bring this to pass in our hearts. That you help us to respond deeply to you, so that there can be a proper basis for confidence in you and going through all situations meaningfully together with you, together with joyfulness and a deep sense of peace, whatever the situation may be, including during this pandemic, and whatever we may be confronted with in the future, a confidence in you that as we live in this way, we will live lives that are fully satisfying, fruitful, and truly pleasing in your sight, and to fulfill the part you desire of each one of us and together as your people in your overall plans and purposes, the fulfillment of God's purposes. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.